Hello, and welcome to Dating, Mating, and Relating with Carly Stein. I am so excited for this show this evening. My special guest is Joanna Kennedy. Joanna is my mentor and friend, and she is a passion and intimacy expert. Is smart, sexy, and spicy, and that is very true. She is. You can't miss her passion and warm, playful style that both entertains and inspires. No other person on the planet possesses the experience, expertise, and ability to transform lives in quite the way Joanna does. She wakes up and ignites power professionally, or power, passion, and pleasure in men and women who know the challenges of love and sex. She artfully and professionally mixes male-female dynamics, leadership training, tantra, and healing, and combines it all with love and to inspire greatness in men and women from the boardroom to the bedroom and everywhere in between. So I'd like to welcome Joanna Kennedy to the show.
Hello.
Hi. Well, thank you so much for agreeing to be on my show.
Looking forward to it, Carly.
You, of course, are the catalyst for my whole career change, which has, been rewarding and amazing. So I just wanted to go on air and thank you wholeheartedly for that.
You are super, super welcome. It's been a pleasure and a joy to watch you unfold into this passion and calling that you have. So, yeah,
awesome. Yeah, it's so much fun. I just love it. So why don't we, let's just get right to the questions.
Okay.
So how did you become a passion and intimacy expert?
Well, considering that my bachelor's degree is in electrical engineering, that's actually a really good question. I, like so many that teach and share in the space of personal growth, it didn't work for me. Simply put, I grew up in the heart of the women's movement. I grew up with the first divorced family in the neighborhood. And both of those two things had huge impacts on the beliefs that I formed about relationship, the beliefs that I formed about men. And let's just say they weren't really positive. And yet I was hungry for love. I'd walk around as a kid and wear a T-shirt that said, "If I follow you home, will you keep me?" Like, I so wanted to be loved. And I had no idea what it meant to be loved. And on top of that, those really lousy beliefs about relationship and those really lousy beliefs about men and who I was supposed to be as a woman, fast forward, making sure that I could be totally independent, I got that electrical engineering degree. And then I went on and got an MBA and went to work in the oil and gas and high-tech industries so that I would never have to depend on a man. And yet, I still wanted that relationship. And blessings in so many ways, I found myself married to who I would have labeled Prince Charming, 6'3", blonde hair, blue-eyed, par golfer, valedictorian, concert pianist, you name it, he was it. And then we were divorced 4 years later. And then I went through relationship after relationship going, where are all the powerful men? Where are all the strong men? Why won't anybody get really, why are so many men so sexually repressed? And I'd walk around and say this stuff. And then finally, I got myself into some workshops where I was like, oh, my God, it was never them, it was me. Those old belief systems and my fears of being seen and my questioning of whether I was really lovable and, oh, yeah, my control things that didn't let me have orgasms. Oh, all of that finally woke me up. And when I got to the crux of it being me and my attitude towards being a woman, I made a vow that I would, as soon as I figured this out for myself, I would be there for other women so they never had to go through what I went through, so that I'd be there for the men that were struggling with these women so they never had to go through what I put men through, because that wasn't a lot of fun either. And so that was really it. And then I made that, when I made that vow and I started doing my own work, it led me to study sacred sexuality. It led me to study partner yoga and male-female dynamics and masculine-feminine energy and the divine masculine and the divine feminine and everything that I could get my hands on about this idea of loving and relating in a way that was conscious and sacred and powerful and ecstatic. And so that was my journey. And it's absolutely what I was put on the planet to do. It was definitely not electrical engineering.
Yes. I would agree.
Thank you.
Yes, you have taught me so much, and I am just so grateful that I get to teach more people. So
many are hungry for it.
Yes. It's true, and I'm seeing it left and right. So can you explain why men and women end up in the friend and roommate zone and how to change it?
Yes, because that was absolutely when I – well, there were a couple of things that played into it, but when I talked about where are all the strong men and the ways that I – was non-orgasmic, where I was looking for, you know, I said all my control things played into whether or not I could orgasm. It's funny, but all of that ties into the question you just asked of why do men and women end up in the friend zone or the roommate zone? And it has to do with this dynamic of masculine and feminine energy. And I'll say up front that I speak predominantly about heterosexual relationships because that's my life experience. And the vast majority of what I speak about applies to same-sex relationships, and particularly this piece that I'm going to talk about in terms of masculine and feminine energy. Now, I've seen not 100% across the board in same-sex relationships, but the dynamic does seem to play out in the majority of those relationships as well. So I just wanted to put that out up front. Even though I'm saying men and women are masculine and feminine, look at how it applies in whatever form of relationship that you have. And so the idea of friend and roommate, basically there's no spark. There's no chemistry. And a big part of what creates the spark is that we have polarized energies. Now, polarized can sound like a bad thing, but it's actually a really good thing. So polarized, it's like two magnets. And if we take the opposite ends of magnets and put them together, they actually come together and they stick. And it takes a little bit of force to pull them apart. But if I flip one of those magnets, which puts two positive ends together or two negative ends, so the same ends, then those magnets want to, how quickly can they repel from each other? I love watching them flip because it's like, how quick can they get away? And this is actually what's happening in the friend or roommate zone, is that we're bringing masculine energy to masculine energy or feminine energy to feminine energy because those two energies act the same as the magnets. Masculine energy is attracted to feminine energy. Feminine energy is attracted to masculine energy. And so with those two energies being most attractive to each other, what usually happens is that one or both partners neutralizes their energy, or they came in both trying to bring masculine energy or feminine and feminine. Okay, so I've laid out these concepts of energies, but what the heck does it really mean? Well, let's use me as an example. I always wanted to be in control. I never wanted to depend on a man. I wanted to prove that I could do it. I wanted to actually spend most of my career proving that I could be as good as any man could be and better. And then I wanted to go out on dates. And the truth is I wanted a man to ask me out. I wanted him to pay. I wanted him to open the door for me. I wanted him to actually take the lead or put his hand on the small of my back. But the problem was, those were expressions of masculine energy. And I was bringing masculine energy. So as soon as he'd offer to help with something, I'd go, no, I got it. And my energy always actually was repelling him. And so that's the essence of it, is that the biggest challenge in our society today is that women have learned through corporate, through being entrepreneurs, through the women's movement, to be really strong and powerful. And we modeled men to do it. So we're strong and powerful like a man. But the truth is, a woman, feminine energy, is incredibly strong and powerful in a very different way. It's a magnetic energy. It's a radiant energy. And so to come back to the crux of the question is that we lose sight of who we are. Okay, what's happened for the men? It's the idea of, you know, and I didn't hear this term until a couple of years ago, or the snag, a sensitive new age guy. And that sensitive new age guy is getting in touch with the feminine energy, which is great. Oh, my God, a man who can access his heart. But the problem is, so many men have tried to be that nice guy, and they've neutralized their masculine energy. So men who have a predominant masculine energy get this feminine front on them, and women who have a predominant feminine energy get this masculine front on them, and then it's all mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
There's no spark. There's no chemistry. Is this making sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
So that's really it in a nutshell, is that we lose sight of our excuse me, I've got a bit of a cold going on. We lose sight of our predominant sexual energy, and it gets neutralized or even neutered in some ways, not physically but energetically. And then we've got no spark left.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And like I said, I see it all the time. So how does someone change this?
Well, and it's interesting that you ask, how do they change it? It's actually not something, well, yes, we want to change to get out of the friend or roommate zone. But it's actually not about changing ourselves, which is what it might sound like. It's actually about finding what's authentic. What's really, really true. Because if you'd asked me 15 years ago if I had a feminine essence, I'd go, no way. No way. I'm so masculine. I am like, take charge, get shit done, do it, make decisions, drive the result. And the truth was, I was exhausted because it wasn't my authentic sexual energy.
Yeah.
And what I see with men who've brought out that more nice guy energy, it's like they know they've got this power. They know they've got something to accomplish in the world, but they can't seem to find the juice. They can't seem to find the direction. And life doesn't seem to have the potency or the power that it could be for these men. And it's because all the conditioning that said men have to be nicer, they don't be so assertive, don't be so aggressive, don't take charge over a woman, which true, don't take charge over a woman, but show up in your power so that she can surrender and give her absolute total choice in it. It's not about domineering, but it is about being in a directive, decisive place. There's a story about one of my very first clients 15 years ago. And he told a story about, he came to me as I was kind of explaining this concept to him, and he said, oh, wait, I think I got two really good examples. He said, wasn't too long ago I went to this business dinner with a bunch of my colleagues from different regions. And he said, this woman walked in and she was incredibly physically attractive, really hot. And he said, then we started to get down to business, and she got really competitive and take charge and pushing things around. And he's like, every bit of my sexual attraction for her disappeared. Hmm. And then he said, a couple weeks later, I'm out at a party, and I meet this really cool woman, and she's telling, you know, we're having these conversations, and I learned that she's this great expert at wine. And he said, but I asked her out. And he said, but I'm sitting at the table. And I'm like, I don't know that much about wine. And she does, so I want to get this right, but I'm going to screw it up. So I ask her if she'll pick the wine. And she said, you know what? I make decisions all day long. I'd love it if you'd actually pick the wine. And he's like, all right. And he, you know, brings his shoulders up. He's like, all right, I'm going to do this. And he picks the wine. She recognized that although she could be very powerful in her corporate environment, when she wanted to be with a man, she wanted that polarity. And so at that point, she accessed her feminine energy. He stepped up and accessed his masculine energy and started to make these decisive and directive decisions. So authenticity is the key part. Looking at what is the experience I want to create right now? Is it attractive, polarized energy, so masculine and feminine? Okay, well then if I want that, and I want the woman to be in her feminine, then I better show up in my masculine. If I want the other person to show up in their masculine, then I've got to be in my feminine. So first is understanding how it works, and then finding out what's true for me. Because I said, there are some women who have predominantly masculine energy. There are some men who have predominantly feminine energy. So there's no right or wrong to this. It's figuring out what's true for you. And a lot of times, if you look at what you're attracted to, then you're going to be the opposite. So I was attracted to really strong men. And so now with the formula, I know that that means for us to have chemistry, I have to be in the feminine. It's not weak. It's just feminine. It's different. Yeah. And so... That's the first step, is to recognize who am I authentically, who am I authentically attracted to, and then what do I want to create in that environment. So then we could go deeper and talk about what are some of the characteristics of masculine and feminine, but I'll stop here because this is the key. How do we shift it? We find out what's true for us, and then we step into those energies that are attractive rather than repelling.
Yeah. I love it. I've brought it up several times on the show, but you just did an amazing job of illustrating and putting into this beautiful picture.
Cool.
Things I've been talking about.
And this was the absolute crux of my wake-up call, was, oh, my God, there is a feminine woman in me. Yes, I want to be courted. Yes, I want to be asked out. Yes, I want to be ravished sexually. Yes, throw me down on the bed. And the wake-up call was, I am that woman, and I do not live her in any way, shape, or form. She is buried away with all kinds of judgments that say she's bad, she's weak, she couldn't get anything done, she couldn't succeed. She has to be stronger than that. And that sense was what changed my entire life when I woke up to that. So, yes, I'm passionate about it.
Yeah, it's amazing work. So how do you put the spark back into a relationship? Let's say two have gone into the roommate zone. How do they really bring the spark back?
Well, okay, so it's really a continuation of what we were just talking about. Each of them have to find out, what's my authentic energy? Am I authentically because here's the other thing about these two energies. Every single person has both energies in their body. In the sacred sexuality world, we actually talk about two channels of energy that move up and twist around the spine, one of them being this feminine energy, one of them being the masculine energy, and that lives in both of us. So first and foremost, to put the spark back in, you got to figure out, which energy am I predominantly? There are a few people that truly have a neutral energy. They just as much want to be taken as they want to take, like equally sexually. They just as much want to be asked out as taken out. Now, there are some caveats around that where men will say, yeah, I want to be asked out just as much as taken out, but most of them want to protect themselves from rejection. But if they knew they couldn't fail or that rejection wouldn't hurt, then they'd truly want to do the asking out. If a woman who's feminine at her core really knew she was safe and wouldn't want to be taken advantage of, then she might say, well, yeah, I want to be taken more often. Yeah, every once in a while I'll put him against the wall or throw him down on the bed. But yeah, the vast majority of the time, I want to be that one that's against the wall. I want to be that one that's being ravished and thrown down on the bed. And so get the spark back. Number one, which one's predominant for you? Which one's predominant authentically for your partner? Assuming they're opposite, you're on the right track. Now, what happens for a lot of couples is that we're showing up with opposite energies. So in a lot of my relationships, I'd attract very nice, passive men. So they could hold that feminine role, and I was in that masculine role. So we had opposite energies, but they weren't authentic. So the critical piece is now, if we've been living a life where our roles have been, and I say roles, it's not the Beaver Cleaver 50s roles. It's the genuine expression of ourselves. And get those back in alignment. That's number one. Now, number two is, if we've had a relationship where there's a lot of unspoken frustration, God, why can't he ever turn me on the way that I want him to? Why doesn't he ever make the decisions? Why am I always the one that have to pay the bills? God, I try to make her happy, and she's just never happy. God, I'm sick of it. Like, if that stuff's going on too, we can get back in touch with our authentic sexual energy. But if we've got a bunch of unspoken stuff, so to speak, stuffed under the rug, we have to clear that out first. Because when all that unspoken stuff piles up under the rug, there's this huge pile in the middle of the room, and one standing on one side and one standing on the other side. It's like, God, do I even love you anymore? What made us fall in love? No, I'm not really interested in sex tonight. Because we can't feel each other anymore because there's so much crap in between. So that's the second critical piece to bringing the spark back, is clearing out what's been unspoken.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And you can open up so much with, like, you know, I recently asked someone. Someone wanted to take me out and ask me and really just talk to me about relationships. And I was like, all right.
Yeah.
And he asked me what I thought the key to a relationship was. And I was like, oh, well, there's a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, besides the relationship needs. But I said communication is extremely important and, you know, key, and communication leads to all these other things that need to take place. And he disagreed with me, for which was really interesting. And everyone else I've asked has said communication. but when we lose the communication, so much can, you know, fall apart.
Totally. Well, I'm just curious, what was his opinion? What was most important to him, or what was the key to him?
Oh, boy. This was like a three-hour-long conversation. So.
Okay.
I can't exactly remember what he pinpointed, and I don't know if he ever actually got to it now that I think about it. But,
yeah.
You know, he's writing a book about relationships, and it was, you know, it was very interesting. He had decided that, you know, men need a job description for a relationship. And I was like, awesome.
Kind of a cool idea.
That is great. And he said that, you know, and he's very analytical, so he was putting, you know, it's very, like, a formula.
It's very structured,
very masculine energy. And he said that his job is to be, he had a formula for it, but essentially the CEO of her happiness. And I was like, to a degree, some of that has to come from inside on her part, but I like where you're going.
Yeah, it sounds like there's some really great pieces, and I'll go back to the two things that you're kind of pointing out in contrast to that is, one, the communication piece. And, you know, and I refer to it, in romantic relationship, it's intimate communication, no matter what we're talking about.
Yeah.
whether we're talking about the bills, whether we're talking about kids, whether we're talking about vacation plans, or whether we're talking about lovemaking. The intimacy in our communication is critical, and it's vulnerable. So that communication, absolutely critical on every level. And then the other piece that I give away something called the 8 Secrets to Lasting Love and Passion. And the number one thing on that list is put yourself first. Mm-hmm. So in contrast to this idea of CEO of her happiness, it's exactly what you said, Carly, is that she's predominantly responsible for that. He can contribute massively, and he's huge if he's into her for more than just sex. He's hugely motivated to contribute to her happiness. And she still has to be the predominantly responsible one. We have to be real about our needs, wants, and desires, or there is no chance that a relationship will ever work. So it's the personal responsibility in it, as well as the communication.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yesterday I posted on Facebook the greatest rebellion of a man. So I'm trying to bring it up so I don't botch it. But it was something like the greatest rebellion of a man in these days is being chivalrous and being a gentleman. And I was like, well, how profound is that?
Yeah, the biggest rebellion is them actually being chivalrous?
Yeah, and a gentleman.
Totally. Please, men, we welcome it back. And if a woman won't receive it, she's not the right one.
Yeah.
It is when we, ladies, and if he wants to lift your suitcase or carry the bags, let him. He gets to contribute to you. And a man that doesn't have something to contribute has very little to be interested in a relationship. It's Alison Armstrong likes to talk about the most attractive woman is one who is voluntarily vulnerable. And that's the key. I don't have to have you, but oh my God, I love letting you contribute to me. I love the way you make a difference in my world, and yes, I'm going to let you. One of my favorite things that happened to explain this one was in a networking event just about a year ago, and I'd had a table, and so I had a box of books and signs and flyers and stuff, and I was leaving the building. And I'm carrying this box, which is not very big. It's a small box. You know, it's a little over, you know, maybe a foot wide and, you know, maybe a foot deep. And I had my briefcase over my shoulder, and I'm walking out of the building, and this man walks up to me, and he says, "Can I carry the box for you?" And my brain had to stop and go, well, I can carry the box. I'm completely capable of carrying this box. And I'm parked way out at the end of the parking lot. He's not going to want to walk that far. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, oh, wait, men don't ask for things that they don't want to do. They are literal. And I'm like, okay, I love to be feminine. Let this man carry the box. I don't know who he is. He was in the event. So I let him carry the box, walk out to my car, which is, again, way at the back of the parking lot. And he simply put the box in my trunk, and I said, thank you, and I smiled at him, and he smiled at me, and he goes, thank you. I let him be him, and I let me be more of me, and it meant nothing other than we contributed to each other's lives. I wasn't weak. I wasn't pathetic. I wasn't lazy. I got to enjoy the gift of a man. And that's flipping awesome when we can let ourselves do that again.
Yeah, it's so amazing. And like me being an entrepreneur, I find, and being raised by a single mother who was also an entrepreneur, I was taught masculine energy and nothing else. So
I get it.
Yeah. So I'm now noticing, like, I really have to work hard to transition into this feminine energy. because, you know, 30 years of my life, that's all I've done.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. And, you know, getting into my feminine flow, the best way I know how is to dance.
Mm-hmm. Dance?
And
yeah.
It's interesting because I will attract people, men I create more substantial relationships with while I'm out dancing than any other place.
I, without question, believe it. And a lot of them will go, I don't dance. But we can give them some clues, Carly, between
uh-huh.
us, about how to connect with that energy and dance, even if they've never danced before.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and it was very interesting because it happened last weekend. And I met someone I have had the strongest connection with. I said, wow, I feel like I've known you for years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was very interesting because, like, just I was at a Halloween party and my friend wanted to go out. And I said, huh, let's go to this place. Like, something just hit me. Go there. And he said the same thing. He just wanted to go out and have a drink and people watch. And our eyes caught, and we spent the next 12 hours together.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in one of the essences, and again, this, believe me, so much of what I was what I'm talking about now, I did not get when I was that engineer and working in the oil and gas industries in Houston, Texas in the 90s. Like, I didn't get most of this stuff. Now, I had, before I had my wake-up call, I had learned to swing dance. And there was a wise part of me, because in learning to swing dance, I refused to learn the leads, because I knew if I learned the leads, I'd take over control and I wouldn't follow. And so there was at least some part of me that was awake before I really had my wake-up call to this thing called masculine and feminine energy. And so, you know, ladies or guys, if we're talking about stuff that doesn't, you're like, I don't get it. How do I do that? Believe me, I didn't get it. I woke up and I was like, I know there's a feminine woman in me because I know she wants all of those masculine things, but I don't know how to express her. I don't know how to be her. I don't know how to move like her. I don't know how to dress like her. I don't, like, who is she? And it's one step at a time of learning how to move my body in a dance. It's one step at a time of learning how my voice impacts it. It's one step at a time to learn how my movements impact it. It's one step at a time to let myself receive. It's one step at a time to open or soften. For the masculine, it's one step at a time towards being more decisive. It's one step at a time about being more assertive. It's one step at a time to stand taller and more confident. It's one step at a time to know your purpose and live it in the masculine. So you don't have to know all this stuff. It's just starting to see the path and then taking one step and then another step. And your life will transform in ways that you never imagined.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, Joanna, we are going to go to a little break so you can drink some water because I know you have a bit of a cold. And we will be back in just a bit to talk about Tantra.
Cool.
Like she loves some. Bring it back like she loves some. In the club with the lights off. Don't you act a shy for? Come and show me that you're with it, with it, with it, with it, with it. Stop playing, now you know that I'm with it, with it, with it, with it, with it, with it. What you act a shy for?
Just give me you, just give me you. That's all I wanna do. And if what they say is true, if it's true, I'm gonna give it to you. I may take a lot of stuff, guaranteed, I can back it up. I think I'ma call you bluff, hurry up, I'm waiting out from.
Hi, this is Evelyn Champagne King, and on behalf of me and my brother Johnny King, we're very excited to be a part of Faces of Success 2016 Old School Celebrity Reunion in Reno, Nevada, at the Grand Sierra Hotel. We'll be making our way down the red carpet, performing my new single, Dance All Night, so you don't want to miss it. It's going to be a lot of great talent. See you there.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Dating, Mating, and Relating with Carly Stein on FacesOfSuccessRadio.com. And this is a live show, so if anyone wants to call in and ask Joanna or myself any questions or wants to make any comments, you can dial 323-642-1569 and just dial 1 to indicate that you want to ask a question. So I love that ad for our show in June, because this is why I'm so excited to go. I get to wear a fun formal dress and dance, which is completely my feminine essence.
Hi.
I was like, ooh, I've been looking at dresses already, and it's not for 8 months. So.
Oh, it's fun to look forward to that, though.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. So, wonderful. Well, Joanna, you are an advanced tantric educator. Can you explain tantra to the audience?
Yes. And it's also one of those terms that you'll never precisely define. And here's how I speak about it.
Tantra is a word that comes from the Hindu tradition. It comes, and that's where the practice, or at least one of the variations on the practice, originated from. And in that original practice, Tantra was about weaving or union. And there were actually originally 108 different tantras or practices, all of which were meant to bring you closer to the divine. And in bringing closer to the divine, that might be meditation, it might be chanting, it might be prayer, it might be yoga, it might be other various spiritual practices, and it might be sexuality. And so of the original 108 tantras, only less than 10, I believe, were actually related to sexuality. But as Tantra got brought westward into the Western cultures, America, in particular, I'll speak to, we had a very puritanical, I mean, we were started by the Puritans, and hungry for sexual expression. And so Tantra came here, and it became synonymous with sexuality. Now, most here would say that Tantra also was had a divine aspect to that sexuality, and so some people use the word sacred sexuality. So the essence of Tantra is really connecting to the divine. Well, what does the divine mean? It doesn't matter what your religious backgrounds are. It doesn't matter what traditions you've followed. It's recognizing that there is, and this is my expression, and also the teachers of Tantra and sacred sexuality, that there's a higher power. There is something that we connect with, that we are, that is bigger than ourselves. And whatever relationship you have to that is perfect. Whatever spiritual or religious tradition you've studied or believe in or follow or know to be true, it's okay. What Tantra, what sacred sexuality, and we'll bring it back into more of the Eastern or Western expression of it, is through our sexual and intimate experiences, we are uniting in some way with that divine energy. And so I like to think of it as that Tantra is about uniting with the divine in me, the divine in another, that when we come together, we're experiencing an even deeper experience of that divine energy. And through that, we're connecting with spirit or God or truth or the universe or life, whatever term you want to use for it. And, you know, I like to joke that there's a reason that we say, oh, God, when we orgasm. Mm-hmm. There's something incredibly powerful happening in that. Is Tantra a way that we can get access to some of the deepest, most powerful realms of sexual experience? Some of the phenomenal experiences of, oh my God, did you feel that? What was that? Oh my God. And even if the partner didn't feel it, or even if we're lovemaking with ourselves, what was that? It was like I got lost. Like we were one. Like I disappeared. Like, oh my God, that was the most powerful energy I've ever experienced. So in this connection with the divine of sacred sexuality, it does take us to new heights of pleasure. It does take us to new depths of union. It takes us to expanding what I might call, and Charles Muir, who was one of my teachers, calls your pleasure boundaries. Like, how much pleasure can you let go through this body? And so that's the essence of Tantra or sacred sexuality, is the exploration of the depths of the divine in our love and our lovemaking.
Yeah, I love it. It's, you know, it's amazing. When I first started working with you, I had a inkling that there was a connection. So I grew up with zero religious, spiritual connection, mm-hmm. taught or told to me. So, you know, I knew there was stuff going on, but just in the last year and a half since I've known you and been open up to this world, like, I'm seeing things in a whole new way every day. And, yeah, and it's funny because I always used to have so much judgment around the, using the word God, and especially when it came to sexuality. Oh, my God, you can't do that. And then I realized that orgasms are quite spiritual, you know, experiences.
Yeah.
It's the only time your body has zero control over itself.
Yeah. It's the only time that we fully let. Well, I won't say the only time, but it's one of the most common times that we fully let the divine express itself through our bodies.
Yeah.
And in connection with another. And the depth of love, the depth of intimacy, the depth of pleasure that we can share when we do that together consciously. And some people get scared of sacred sexuality because it's, oh, it's serious, or I can't have that raw animal sex. And it's not true. Like, there can be raw passion that is incredibly divine because it is that connection with more than just ourselves. But
right,
if we shut off our heart, if we shut off our energy, and we just are doing the deed, if you will, or we just fuck, that can be good. And I'll challenge those of you that are most comfortable in that space that there's so much more available to you. And you can have sex in every form and have it be a tantric experience.
Yeah, completely agree. Like, and, you know, we also have to get in touch with the fact that we are animals.
Mm-hmm.
So having those primal, you know, wants and needs and intrigues is normal.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Honor that.
It's all a part of authentic sexual expression.
Yeah.
If we're doing it to get attention, if we're doing it so somebody will like me, if we're doing it because that proves that I'm, you know, sexually free, if we're, you know, if we're not doing it because I don't want to be judged, those are the reasons that get us into trouble. If it's a genuine expression, wow, amazing. But if we do it so that somebody else will like us, it's never going to feel good.
Yeah, it's amazing what can be released through sexuality, but what also can be, you know, where barriers can be created.
Absolutely.
So speaking of barriers, what would you say are the three biggest barriers to lasting love and chemistry?
And we've actually touched on a couple of them. And the first one is being inauthentic. And so I like to call it being the Mr. Nice Guy or the Mr. Nice Girl, where, yeah, I'll go along with whatever you want, and I'll go along with whatever you want. And, okay, well, today I'm not going to go along with it, whatever you want, but whatever makes you happy. And I'm not going to tell you that I really got upset because I don't want to have an argument, or I don't want us to have a conflict, or I don't want you to leave. And so all these times of not telling the truth about what we were feeling, wanting, needing, that we put up this huge barrier that we talked about. And so the first barrier is being inauthentic, and what it causes is resentment. So the key is to actually be real, to be authentic, and that's actually the thing that's most attractive and most sexy. So that's the first one. The second one is that we expect each other. It's false expectations. Basically, women expect men to behave like they do. They expect them to be as sensitive, as conversational, as intuitive, tracking as many things as they do. And men can't do that. And then men get frustrated. They want women to be more decisive and can you just get to the point? And, you know, will you just make a decision? And come on, don't be so feeling. Just be a little more logical. Women can't do that either. So we have this idea that you should be like me. And it totally puts up barriers because, guys, you don't usually want to have relationships with your buddies. And we're not usually sexually attracted to our girlfriends, unless we are. But in the space of right now, the heterosexual space, is that we are different. And so the key to get around the barrier of the false expectations that you're going to be like me is to understand that we're different, understand our different needs, and treat each other as the unique, distinct beings that we are. So celebrate and honor the differences, but to celebrate and honor the differences, first you got to understand the differences. So that's the second one. And then the third one is what I call independence inequality. And it's this idea that we're the same. You can take out the trash and I can take out the trash. You can fix the car and I can fix the car. You can mow the lawn and I can mow the lawn. You can do the dishes, I can do the dishes. You can change the diapers, I can do the change. And all of that is true. And for most of us, we will have very distinct gifts that we want to give to a relationship. Yes, it so happens that I prefer to be the one that cooks in a relationship. When I can be creative and put a beautiful meal out for the man in my life, oh my God, that's awesome. And that's natural for me. I'm not such a big fan of taking out the trash. And he happens to be really happy to give that gift. So it doesn't matter what the role is. It happens that I want a man that can provide for me. And the men that I date and the man I'm in relationship with loves to provide for me. So it's finding, that polarity between the masculine and feminine energies and then living into that. Letting the spark happen because I know my authentic sexual essence. And I show up that way in relationships so that there's spark and chemistry. And I let my partner express their authentic sexual energy. So it's finding your authentic sexual essence and living it fully that is the key to moving beyond the barrier of this so-called idea of equality and independence. And just to toss in, independence, yes, it's that I can be independent, but in order to have a relationship that really works, we have to choose partnership, or in other words, interdependence. We have to be dependent on each other if we're going to truly have partnership. So those are the key barriers that I see that get in the way of really deep passion and love that lasts.
Yeah, I love it. And so much of that is so relevant. you know, I see things every day. In fact, I was having a conversation with someone today, and, you know, he was saying that he likes to go Dutch on first dates, or any date at that. And I was like, okay, cool. You're not for me, but if that's what you want, that's fine. But, you know, because the reason was is he didn't want, he liked to save his money and he didn't want to spend it on a woman. And I said, okay, cool. I said, but you know what? If you're not willing to take a risk, there's no reward.
Good point. And it's not, you know, some women will go, or some men will think, oh, women are just gold diggers. It's not what it's about. It's for us to surrender to you, which men want us to do sexually. But then, oh, I have to provide and take care of myself. Well, wait a second. You want me to provide and take care and be, you know, totally independent and take charge, but oh yeah, then you want me to surrender sexually? Like,
yeah.
We have to look at the continuum across life. And so it's just being real that it's not bad if I want a man who can provide for me. It's just a matter of looking at what's real. And if guys don't want to, that's great. Look at the women that then want to hold more of that provider energy. And then notice the energy dynamic and how the sex is between you. See how it works. Try it out.
Yeah.
Be curious.
I love how it's all connected.
So connected.
Yeah. So, well, Joanna, we're almost at an hour. It went by so fast.
Does it? Oh my gosh.
I know. Amazing, right? We'll have to have you back on because there's so much to talk about. So I love, you know, want to thank you, of course, for being on the show. And how can people find out more about you?
Absolutely. So my website is happinessloveandpleasure.com. And just go to that, and you'll find all kinds of information about me. And the gift that I'd love to give your listeners, Carly, is right there on the homepage of my site is something called the Passionate Love Jumpstart Kit. And it's got three parts, including an article on the seven practices for great sex. It's got the passionate lover and relationship system in it. It's got those eight tips that I talked about. So really solid ways to look at both how to attract and create that what I like to call healthy, hot, and happy relationship, and then how to have great sex within it. So please go download the Jumpstart Kit and take a look at the website. If there's any way that I can support the listeners, I would be happy to do that. I am immensely passionate about this, and I want this for every man and woman to experience the depth and the joy of this.
Yeah, well, I love it too, and thank you so much for everything you do.
You are totally welcome.
And, of course, we'd love to have you back on. Of course, it'll have to be sometime next year, but we definitely will get you back on the show. And, again, anyone, Joanna's website is happinessloveandpleasure.com. So, feel, you know, go out there and check out everything she's up to because she's up to quite a bit. All right. Well, again, thank you so much, Joanna.
You are super welcome. Thank you for the chance. It was great.
You're welcome. Okay, everyone. Well, thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed Joanna's content. She was amazing. And then I just want to tell you about next week's show. We are moving to a one-hour platform, so you'll be able to get listen to me for shorter amounts of times, but it'll be more impactful. So, all right. So next week we have Denise Onofre. She is known as the relationship strategist for couples, and she is a licensed marriage and family therapist as well as a sex therapist with a private practice in Denver, Colorado. Denise works with couples to connect on a deeper level, reignite the passion and desire that brought them together initially, and navigate through the intimate communication relationships are hard, and Denise helps make them easier. So I love connecting with Denise. She has a ton to bring to the table, and I can't wait to have her on. So we will see you next week. And don't forget to tune in at 5:00 Mountain Standard Time.